The will to move forward, the need to move forward. Perhaps nowhere is this need more significant than in medicine. I'm Elizabeth Tracy, and this is Forward Conversations, a Johns Hopkins Medicine podcast that shines a light on those taking healthcare forward for all of us. In our first 7 episodes, we'll feature the stories of individuals who have answered the call with extraordinary innovation and leadership to help find ways forward through the COVID-19 pandemic, like nurses Kat Harris and Stephanie Gibbon.
My name is Kat Harris. I am the assistant patient care manager of the surgical ICU at Hopkins Bayview. I am also a charge nurse working on the unit.
My name is Stephanie Gibbon. I am a registered nurse on the intensive care unit. I work bedside as well, and then I also run charge some weekends. So we work separate shifts. Usually our interactions are when we're exchanging report. If Kat is running charge that day and if I'm running charge that night, then we'll have charge report going on and off shift.
We never get the pleasure of working side by side. We do have a lot of conversation and intermingling between the shifts, and there's a lot of very valuable information and happenstances that occur when we do get the time to chat for a while.
Let's talk about the Delta surge and how did that surge change your work and your lives?
I feel like since COVID has happened, it's just been a constant. I mean, I feel like every day you don't really know what you're walking into. And that's what it was. We never knew what type of patients. We never knew what to expect. We never knew what the unit would look like, you know, if what doors would be up, what walls would be up. And it's just, it was always something different.
It was quite a learning curve, both from the COVID standpoint and just a general nursing standpoint for us.
One of the things that happened during the surge in October 2020 is you had a patient who was really ill and you noticed that something was amiss.
Yeah. So I had a patient and he was there for quite a long period of time. He was very, very sick. Just because of his previous healthcare issues, it was documented pretty well that his wife was involved in his care and had to be a very strong partner for him to recover his previous illnesses.
Steph came to me that morning. She said she had had a few minutes and she looked through and was becoming concerned as, you know, it wasn't normal for this patient to not have the wife involved. And it was also a very difficult thing because with COVID, we weren't allowed to have the in-person family members with any COVID patient at that time. So you really had to dig deep and notice like she did. So I had a few minutes that morning and I did a little chart digging, figured out the area that they were from. You know, being in the trauma unit, sometimes we do have to do a little detective work, but we figured out where she lived. And fortunately that day, we actually had a police officer on the unit guarding a patient for a different reason. Yes. That said, hey, this address, is there a way to find out which police district this is? And we called the police district for that area and just basically explained the situation to them and asked if it would be like something that would warrant a wellness check, as we have not been able to get a hold of any other people in this man's life. And they did. And the police were amazing. They went, they did the wellness check. Nobody answered. So they ended up having to break into the home and found her very extremely ill in bed for how many days, we don't know. And she had to actually be rushed to Bayview via ambulance, very sick with COVID as well. So it was quite an experience. Turns out she actually ended up coming up to our unit about a day later.
You saved her life.
It's a very interesting feeling. I never thought that I would have a circumstance like that, but it makes you really dig down to the core of nursing, and that's what you get into nursing for.
Very surreal. Very surreal. I came back into work that night, and when I came in, everybody, like, I just happened to walk into the break room and everybody turned around and they were like, you saved someone's life. I said, what? I'm like, I haven't even put my stuff down. Like, what are you saying? They said, you know, the police went and she's here now. She's at the hospital. She was not okay. Wow. Okay. In nursing school, they talk to you about this. It's called the spirit of inquiry. It's like, you know, in nursing, how they try to teach you to like dig into different details. They always taught you that. But that was the first thing I thought of when all of this happened. I was like, okay, now I it just comes full circle in a way.
We just happened to have the time, and Steph had the time to kind of really dig a little deeper, and we just went from there.
were either of you or both of you tempted to say, oh, this is just one more of those communications glitches. We don't have time to follow this up.
Yeah, I mean, especially running charge and those days were so busy. It would have been really easy to just kind of say, oh, let's just wait a day. Let's see what happens. But there, I think there was just something, just kind of what bugged Steph to kind of look. There was something not right and you could just feel it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's nurse's intuition or, but something just said, this warrants something further.
You've helped more than 1,000 patients move forward from the long-term effects of intensive care, and you're helping to share this model with other health systems.
Anybody entering our ICU is going to be critically ill or have a traumatic injury that is going to require a long-term commitment to healing. It's going to alter their day-to-day, potentially for the rest of their life. So a lot of our focus now is on treating the patient and preparing them for their new normal.
I think that a lot of patients, I think anyone in general, they don't ever think that they could end up in an ICU like this when it happened to them. And a lot of patients really did struggle with adapting to that new normal and not being able to do the things that they did on an everyday basis.
We tapped into a part of nursing that we didn't really focus on before. We always wanted to mobilize our patients and focus on the after. So we got to feel their victories and their excitement when they would pick up a fork and hold it for the first time in a month, or you know, the look on their family members' faces when they stood for the first time in 40 days and things like that.
We had to get really creative. We kind of had to create these different relationships with our patients because we wanted them to really get back to their new normal. And it was very interesting.
You both literally have taken medicine forward.
In the future, I think it would, you know, just the generalized incorporation of family and ensuring that family can be a strong component. And this would definitely alert us to more situations like this, to where someone's loved one might be in a bad situation at home that we could also help with in some sort of way.
It just reminds me like why we do this, you know, and why we work as hard as we do.
Thank you all for listening. For more information about how we're moving medicine forward, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or visit TopkinsMedicine.org/forward figures. Johns Hopkins Medicine, forward for all of us.